You're listening to a message from The Gathering. Check us out on Facebook or our website at peopleintheircity.com. Now, prepare your heart for God to speak something powerful into your life.
Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, I am so excited. We're beginning a brand new series today called Your Future, an invitation to true life. We are going to talk about the fulfilling future that God does have for you and how you can live in it, okay? So we're diving right in. Listen to me very carefully. At some point in your past, today was your future. At some point in your past, today was your future. And so I've got a question, and we're going to go much broader than this, but when it comes to your relationship with God right now, where you're at with God right now, maybe you're just getting started in a relationship with Him, maybe you've been following Him for years. Here's my question, though. Has anyone helped you out with your relationship with God along the way? Have you had anybody that's helped you get to the point where you are at right now in your relationship with God? Let me use a Bible term, okay? Has anyone gone fishing for you? Has anyone fished for you? Can you think of anyone? So think about this, and again, follow me closely. At some point in your past, today was a future time in your life that you dreamed about. Is that right? At some point in your past, today was a future time in your life that you thought about or dreamed about. Here's what I mean. When you're in middle school, you dream about being in high school, right? And when you're in high school, you think about being in college. And when I say think about it or dream about it, I mean, you can kind of picture what it will one day look like in your mind. Is that right? When you're a kid and your only legal mode of transportation is your bicycle, how many of you know what is it you dream about getting to do? Drive a car, right? Drive a car. And it's like you can picture that day in your mind. How many of you, though, when you did finally get to drive, the car you were driving was not the car you'd pictured all those years along the way, right? My first car was a 1980 Chevy Citation. It was not my dream car. I've never owned my dream car or truck, really. Apparently it's nobody else's dream car because you have no idea what that car is, right? So I got a picture of it, and I'm going to show it to you. Somebody say hallelujah. Okay, I know this thing is a hatchback, but this is the biggest hatchback boat you have ever seen in your life. It had the cloth ceiling where you had to use the push pins to hold it up. You know what I'm talking about? And when you would drive and you'd hit the bump hard, the push pins would fall out and that cloth would fall and droop over your eyes. This was not safe. You could be driving this thing and pull the keys out of the ignition and it would keep on trucking. And so get this, though. Not only was this no one's dream car, in my family, this was actually the punishment car. And here's what I mean by that. I have two older brothers, and they obviously drove before I could ever drive. And eventually, they got nicer cars than the Chevy Citation. But if they would get in trouble, this was their punishment. Like my dad would say, you're driving the Citation to school for a week, and you did not want to do that. It was not cool. And this car could not keep its charge. If you didn't drive it for 2 days, it would lose its charge. And so I just remember numerous times where my brothers would get in trouble and I'd hear my dad yell, charge up the Citation, you're driving it for a week. It was good times. However, I didn't even do anything to get in trouble. I'm just the youngest kid in the family, so I inherited the punishment car. This is just the car that was available for me at that time. So listen, I say all that to say, it wasn't what I pictured in my mind. This wasn't my dream car. This wasn't what I thought I would be driving at that point when I could start driving, okay? So listen, again, at some point in your past, today was a future time in your life that you dreamed about, that you thought about. Here's my question. With that in mind, have things turned out the way you wanted them to? Have things turned out the way you wanted them to for right now? Does today look like what you pictured in your mind? Let me ask it this way. Are you fulfilled right now? Are you satisfied in life right now? I'm not saying everything is perfect. I'm not saying you feel like you've arrived, but are you truly fulfilled in life right now? Can I tell you something? Most people today are not living lives of fulfillment. Most people today are nowhere near satisfied, and they don't truly know how they're ever going to be. They've got some ideas that they think will satisfy them. They do think if they get the dream car, I'll be happy. Or if I get that certain job, I'll be happy. If I date that certain person, that will bring the fulfillment I want. Or, if I have this certain amount of money, okay? But listen, people keep trying new things all the time, and they always come up empty when it comes to fulfillment, okay? Here's what's sad. Most Christians today are not living lives of fulfillment either. Here's what's really, really, really sad. We're the ones who should be. We're the ones who should be. If anybody should be living lives of fulfillment, it should be the people who say they know and love Jesus. Come on, He is the hope of the world. He's everything that every person needs, and we supposedly have Him. His love and His purpose are the only things that will satisfy. His gospel, the good news about Jesus, is the greatest message on the planet, and the church has it. Yet so many church people aren't satisfied in life, are disappointed with the way things have turned out right now, and are even anxious about their future. Much grace, but is any of this hitting home this morning? How can that be? So how many of you have ever heard this phrase, your decisions today determine your future? You guys heard that before? Your decisions today determine your future. So I'm going to say something similar, but I want to put a little twist on it, okay? So if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. The invitations you accept today determine your future. The invitations you accept today determine your future. So we're talking about your future, an invitation to true life. Throughout this series, we're going to talk about the concept of accepting or declining invitations, and also offering or not offering invitations to other people, and how according to God's word, the invitations you accept and the invitations you offer, those two things together have a direct impact on your future, the life you live and the fulfillment you experience. So let me begin to illustrate this with a question. Okay, how can you better ensure that your future will be fulfilling? What needs to happen today so that tomorrow or 1 year from now or 10 years from now, you're satisfied with the future you're actually living in? Okay, here's what needs to happen, and I'll show it to you all throughout Scripture. Here's my one point for today. You must accept God's invitations. You must accept God's invitations. The amount of fulfillment you experience in your future depends on how many, if any, of God's invitations you accept. And you need to know, our God is an invitational God. Okay, let me just ask you, and what I'm about to ask you, this is some Sunday school stuff right here, okay? All right, but would we all agree that God knows everything? We all agree with that? Okay. Then would you not also agree that He then knows everything that's best for your life? That He knows exactly what you need? We agree with that, right? Okay, so listen. Our God then constantly invites His people to do life with Him and to do things His way. Now, to be clear, many of His invitations come in the form of commands for His people. Okay, but we just agree though, right? He knows what's best. I mean, He is the one who can command us what to do, right? Because He knows what's best, and He's a good dad. But here's the reason we're referring to them as invitations. It's because at the end of the day, He still gives us a choice as to whether or not we'll accept the invitations from Him, okay? God gives us a free will, right? And He lets us use it. Therefore, we get to accept or decline God's invitations. He will never force us to do things His way. Rather, and here's what it boils down to. He really invites us to live lives of faithfulness and obedience. He invites us to do all kinds of things with him and to do things his way. So for example, I'm going to give you some of the invitations that God gives to his people, okay? There's a whole bunch, but for example, here's one. He says, follow me. That's an invitation, right? He says, forgive that person. Or he invites us, go ask for forgiveness from that person. Here's another one, read my word. He actually says it this way, meditate on my word day and night. What about this? He says, confess our sins to each other. He says, go and make disciples. He says, bring the tithe and be generous above that. Again, I know these often come in the form of commands for his people, but he invites us. I mean, he will never force you to live the blessed life. Now, I want to share something, okay? So I discovered this past week that there was kind of some buzz leading up to the beginning of this sermon series here today. Some people heard about this sermon series or heard, we're going to talk about your future. And I kept hearing from people all week long, man, people are excited about this sermon series, which I love it. That's awesome. Here's what I've been wondering the past few days, though. I've been wondering, did some people hear the title of this sermon series, Your Future, and maybe we had a thought kind of like this, like, finally, I bet they're going to finally tell me the one simple thing I need to be doing so that everything will turn out wonderful from here on out. You know, it's sort of like the way infomercials make you think. Like, if you don't have their product, your life is terrible. Like, how many of you guys just, if you have to clean up one more spill with a paper towel, you're just gonna die. But if you get that ShamWow for $19.99, you'll never have a sad day in your life again. How many of you, your blankets do not stay on your body. Your body is a scientific anomaly. Even if you're laying down and gravity is supposed to hold the blanket on top of you, it still comes off of you. But if you would just put your arms through the blanket sleeves. How many of you would love it if I had just the one simple answer, the one thing you need to do for the rest of your life so things would turn out wonderful in this sermon series? How many of you would love that? Okay, I'm going to blow your mind. I got it. I really do have the answer, okay? And I think most of us technically know what it is. However, it may not actually be the answer some of us were hoping for. Okay, I know we're having some fun this morning, but listen, we're in church, right? We're in church right now. What do you think the answer is going to be? Right? What's always the right answer in church? Jesus! But I think we're still missing it. Some of you are like, that doesn't sound right, Pastor. And it's, oh, yes, it's Jesus. It is Jesus and what Jesus invites us to do with him. Jesus and what Jesus invites us to do with him is the answer. Jesus has a huge invitation that he gives to every person that says yes to following him, but most people have missed it. Most people have missed it, okay? And listen, okay, don't raise your hands right now. Do not raise your hands with what I'm about to ask. Again, I know we're having some fun, but listen, how many of you, if you're totally honest right now this morning, and you would never say this out loud, okay, but how many of you, you kind of hope or you maybe even just wish, even just a tiny bit, that the answer wasn't Jesus? That the answer for your future and your fulfillment could just be something a little bit different or something a little bit easier. You don't have anything against Jesus. It's just you, man, I wish there was something just a little easier or I wish it was a different answer, okay? Can I tell you why I believe most people or a lot of people often want a different answer other than Jesus? Here's why. Because many Christians today actually believe they've already tried Jesus and they don't think he really works. I'm going to say that again. Many Christians today believe they've already tried Jesus and they don't think he really works. Yeah, we'll still go to church sometimes. And of course, we're going to bank on Jesus so that we get to go to heaven one day. Of course we will, but here's our line of thinking. Well, Jesus really didn't come through for me in this situation over here like I wanted him to. He really didn't ever fix that circumstance over there like I wanted him to. And I went to church when I was a kid, but my life did not turn out the way that I really had hoped it would by this point. Things just are not like I pictured. I just don't really think that Jesus works for day-to-day living. So yes, I'm going to still believe in him, but I need to go and continue to look in other areas for the satisfaction and the fulfillment that I long for. Church, I'm going to say something, and this may shock you, but I've met a lot of Christians over the years. I've met a lot of people who say they love Jesus, but they've never even truly tried Jesus. This is going to be strong too. Many of us would say we've tried Jesus' way, but I'm here to tell you this morning that there's a bunch of us that have never fully crossed that line. Yet again, here's what we almost fool ourselves into thinking. We think, oh, but I tried Jesus. I tried it his way, and it didn't work, so I guess I'll try something else. Let me say it this way. Most people who say they're Christians in America today they've only partially accepted the invitation that Jesus offers. They've never fully accepted the invitation. And here's why it's so simple, and you guys already know this. Come on, here's why. We don't want to accept an invitation from Jesus, right? We don't want to accept an invitation from Jesus. We're simply wanting Jesus to do a magic trick and fix our lives and fix our future to come. But when Jesus doesn't instantly give the big magic fix for our lives and our future to come, here's what we think. We think, oh, I tried Jesus already, but that didn't work. He didn't fix this the way I wanted him to. Can I tell you something? No, you did not try Jesus. You didn't try Jesus. There's so much more to the invitation that Jesus offers that you've yet to say yes to. Here's what you did, okay? You went to Jesus and you said, Jesus, I've got this problem. I need you to fix it. I've got this situation right here. I need you to fix it. I need you to make this better. And here's what Jesus said in response. And he said, okay, well, you're invited. Come to me. Actually, cross over this line right here. Come over to where I'm at. Let's do things my way. I got something I want you to do, and in the process, I'll make you better. In the process, I'll make you better. But we don't want for us to have to get better. We want life to simply get better for us. Am I preaching to the right people this morning? Yes, you are. We want Jesus on our own terms. We want the magic trick. Think about it. We want Jesus to magically make our lives better without us ever having to change or sometimes lift a finger. I know this. I know we all want Jesus to do a supernatural work in our lives, don't we? Every person wants that, right? But we won't get out of bed in the morning to even read his word. We want our marriages to get fixed, but here's what we often want. We just want God to fix the other person. Husbands, we don't really want to accept the true invite from Jesus to love our wives. Wives, we don't really want to accept the true invitation from Jesus to respect our husbands. We just want Jesus to fix the other person. But that's not how Jesus works. Here's how Jesus works every time. He says, I can make you better. I've got a life for you. I can give you true life, abundant life, life to the full. I'll give you purpose and fulfillment. I'll provide for you. I'll take care of you. I'll give you a future. Just accept my invitation. Come follow me. Come follow me. And as you follow me, I'll make you into something that you are currently not. I'll make you into the man or the woman that I want you to be. And in the process, I'm going to change your future and use you to change the future of many others. And you'll find the fulfillment you're looking for along the way. Let me show this to you, okay? This is all throughout Scripture. I've got several scriptures here this morning, okay? And let me say it this way. What we're about to see in God's word is God saying to his people, he's saying, you're invited. Come do things my way. Come over here, cross this line, come show up with me and watch. Then after you do, then future tense, I'll make things better. Watch this. James 4:8, let's start there, says, come close to God, and then what? Come on, God will come close to you. You take a step. You accept the invite. You show up. You come close. Zechariah 1:3 says something similar. God says, return to me, declares the Lord Almighty. You return. You make a move, he says, and watch, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. You make a move, I'll make a move, God says. Matthew 18:20, watch this. For where two or three gather together as my followers, in other words, you show up at church, you put an effort in, you come close, and watch this, and then I am there among them. Are you seeing these? I got this next one's exciting. We already talked about it. In fact, we sang about it this morning. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 22. Again, the nation of Israel, they're in a battle they cannot win on their own. They are surrounded by other armies, okay? And God then gives them an invitation. He tells them to do something nuts. He says, go call the choir. Go get those singers. I know that worship team isn't that muscular. I know they're an emotional bunch of people. I'm on it, I know. But here's what he says. He says, put the singers on the front line. Go and have the singers march in even in front of the dudes with the swords. And as soon as they start singing to me, as soon as they give me praise, I'll defeat your enemies. Now, if you're the captain, if you're the general, if you're the king, how many of you know this goes against everything you've ever learned even since you started basic training? But they go for it. And watch this, verse 22. At the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. This is how I fight my battles. Come on, so here's what Jesus says to us today. You're going through a battle. You're facing a battle. Okay, here's your invitation. Worship me. Be obedient to me. Show up with me. Follow me. Do things my way. Cross the line. Let my life shine through yours, and I'll give you a win. There's so many more. We could spend all day looking at scriptures like this. I've got one more. And I chose this one because we should all be very familiar with it now after the blessed life, okay? So watch this, Malachi 3:10, God says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple or in my home, right? And watch this, I love this. If you do, doesn't if you do usually mean there's something to follow? If you don't, there's probably nothing to follow. But if you do, if you do, says the Lord, Lord of heaven's armies, I will open up the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. But here's what we want. We want God to open the windows of heaven and pour out all of the blessing onto us before we ever have to do anything. Amen? That's not how Jesus works. You guys are seeing this morning, right? Jesus gives invitations. But here's what happens. There's so many people, and here's what they've done. They've walked right up to the line. They've walked right up to the line, and they've peeked over at what Jesus is inviting them to do. And then they've said no, and they backed away from that line. But then here's what they've told themselves. Oh, I tried things Jesus' way, but that doesn't work. No, you didn't. You did not try Jesus. Jesus was on the other side of that line that you didn't cross. Come on, we got to try things his way. Jesus was on the other side of the line. You didn't cross. You didn't try him at all. You skipped out on what Jesus wanted to do in you so that he could move through you, so that he could work in your future. And listen to me, church, you have to hear this. This is how much Jesus loves you. In most cases, he will not fix your big problem. He will not give you the brand new life. He will not change your future if you won't allow him to fix your heart in the process. Because if he were just to show up and magically give you the brand new life or give you the brand new future, but you stay the same, you're going to mess up your brand new future 5 minutes after you start living in it. Or it's going to hurt you more than you're already hurting because you can't handle it yet. Are you following me? Okay, listen, our God is an invitational God. Plus, this is good news right here. This might be the best part of the sermon right here. He's already done everything we need him to do so that we can have true life. Yeah. Woohoo! Come on! He already went to the cross. He already bled. He already died. He was already buried in the grave. He already rose again. He's already given us his Holy Spirit so that we can have true life. Now he just issues an invitation to all of us. He says, follow me and let me make you into the person I want you to be. Let me make you into something that you're not so that you can experience true life. But listen, and here's the key right here. Most people don't ever truly take Jesus up on the whole invitation. They don't take him up after they don't take him up on the part after he says, follow me. Do you remember that invitation that he gives? This is a famous passage in your Bibles, okay? Jesus said it to his disciples. I know you know it. He said, follow me and I'll make you into something that you are not. I'll make you into a new man. I'll make you into a new woman. I'll give you a brand new purpose. I will change your future. And in the process, I'm going to change the futures of many others through you. I guarantee you know what that verse is. I hope you're already there ahead of me. We're going to look at it one second, but listen to me. This is where we're heading in this sermon series. Okay, most people are not fully fulfilled. They're anxious about their future. They're concerned about where things are happening right now because they have not fully said yes to the invitation Jesus gives after he says, follow me. Okay, watch this. Matthew 4, 18 through 20. If you got your Bibles, Matthew 4, 18 through 20 says, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, come on. He said, follow me. And here it is, church, say it with me. And I will make you fishers of men. Now watch their response. Immediately. We're going to come back to that, so remember that. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Church family, are you seeing this? Jesus invites his followers to know him, and in the same sentence, in the same breath, he also invites us to help others know him as well. He says it this way, follow me and I will make you a fisher of people. In other words, I'm inviting you to know me and know my love for you. And at the same time, I'm inviting you to live an invitational life so that others can know me and know my love for them through you. And this is where you're going to find your fulfillment. This is where you're going to find what you're looking for. Most Christians have received the invite to follow Jesus, but they rarely, if ever, have accepted the invitation to go fishing for other people that need to know Jesus' love as well. Most Christians rarely, if ever, truly live an invitational life for Jesus, where other people can get to know Jesus through them. In fact, here's the current status of the church in America. Most Christians in America today have never and will never at this point invite or lead a single person to Jesus. And you will never find the future fulfillment you long for. Even the present fulfillment you long for, so long as you are not living an invitational life. And listen, I really believe this as well. Every invitation that Jesus will ever give to people that say they're going to follow him, every invitation that he gives always falls under this bigger umbrella invitation where he says, I want to make you into a fisher of men. Every other invitation falls under this umbrella. Every other invitation is designed to help you become this person. If you won't ever accept this invitation, you'll never accept any of these down here. And vice versa. If you never accept any of these down here, you'll never become this person up here. At the beginning of this message, I asked, who helped you get to this point? Has anyone played a part in helping you know Jesus more? I mean, for example, did somebody invite you to church? Did somebody even invite you to the gathering? Who along the way, I'm not saying they're perfect either, but who accepted God's invitation somewhere along the way so that you could begin to get to know Jesus more through them? Church, you need to know, people fished for me. A whole bunch of people along the way have fished for me. I shared my story last week. My friend Kevin Regeer, that he invited me to church. And the second Sunday I went back with him, I gave my life to Jesus, and everything began to change. I mean, God did a 180 on my life. I am so grateful for my friend Kevin. And you need to know, he fished for me for years. He didn't give up. He would get me on the hook sometimes, and I would fight so hard to get off that hook, but he kept reeling me in. He said, "Brandon, you need to go to church with me." Part of the reason I even accepted his invitation to go to church was because I could actually see that he had a vibrant relationship with Jesus that was bringing him fulfillment. He had satisfaction in his life, and I wanted the same satisfaction. It was attractive. You got to see it this way. God was using Kevin's life as bait. It got me on the hook. I'm so grateful for him, I tell you what. And so listen, God has blessed my future. I've given my life to Jesus now. There's a future in front of me, right? God blessed Kevin in the process. He continues to bless his future, and he continues to allow Kevin to impact even more futures. And now even more futures is getting impacted through what God's doing through me. You need to understand, Kevin Regeer did not plant this church, but he's partly responsible for the fact that it exists. And now he gets great fulfillment and satisfaction through what God is doing in your lives. You following me today? Are we seeing this? Church, the concept of this series is twofold. God wants to change and bless your future by changing you, by making you into something that you're not yet, and using you then to change and bless the futures of others. God wants to lead you into true life by also using you to lead others into true life. If you don't ever lead anyone else into true life, you'll never fully experience it yourself. But you want to, don't you? You want to lead other people to Jesus, don't you? I guarantee, come on. If I ask you, I'm just going to ask right now. You want to lead other people to Jesus, don't you? Everybody does, don't they? Everybody wants to lead somebody to Jesus. We've just got to equip ourselves. We've got to learn how to live the invitational life. We're going to be doing that over the next several weeks, okay? And listen, you have to determine now, though, that Jesus, I'm going to accept your invitation. I want you to make me into that fisher of men. I'm not going to leave that for everybody else to do. I understand that's part of my responsibility, and that's part of where I'm going to find the fulfillment that I need in you, is being the person you want me to be. You've got to accept the invitation. You've got to determine now, I'm going to live this invitational life. Or as we've been saying around here since our inception, we got to live the disciple life, saved, changed, and on mission. Come on, we're going to talk about how do we live the invitational life? How do we live on mission? How does that work? And I'm just going to tell you right now, we're going to take a very practical step together, all of us, throughout this series. This is a very practical step we're going to do. We're all going to start inviting other people to church. All of us. Some of you are scared. Some of us have never crossed that line yet. Get ready to. And it's going to be fun. And it's going to be fulfilling. I'm telling you, come back next week. We are going to have so much fun as we begin to talk about this adventure we're going to step into and going after some people all around us in our city. I cannot wait. But we've got to accept God's invitation. Man, and listen to me. This is going to be strong. But if you're sitting here right now and you just heard me say, we're going to start inviting other people to church, and you just said, I'm not, or no, I won't, why are you standing on this side of the line? Why won't you step over that line? I promise, we're going to help equip each other so that we can do this thing, okay? Don't be scared, but you need to say, yes, Jesus, I want to do this thing. Newton has 20,000 people in it. And you know, if you call this place home, we say this all the time. We say, I say it at least, and I think I get you to nod your heads yes. We say we're crazy enough to believe that all 20,000-ish people in this town could actually have a real relationship with Jesus. Amen? But if the people in Newton who love Jesus don't ever invite the people who do not yet love Jesus, how will they ever love Jesus? They won't. Church, you have to begin to feel the weight of this responsibility. We have to own this, okay? Did you see what we read just a moment ago in Matthew 4? Did you see what it said in verse 20? Jesus offers the invitation, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And what did they do? Immediately, they left that life behind for the life that Jesus has for them. They crossed the line. They said, we're going with you, Jesus. Family, you need to hear this. There is an urgency to the gospel. There is an urgency to this message. There has been since the day Jesus gave it to his followers. Okay, people need this and they need it now. There are kids in this town that don't need to spend one more day in the house that they're living in, hurting and broken without the gospel. When we were planting the church, man, things were moving at a fast pace. And honestly, there were times where I felt like, God, I'm just trying to keep up. But then there were times where I'd just stop and I would pray. I'd say, God, I want to make sure I'm like, this is really you. And I'm not the one that needs to be going this fast. If you don't want me, I don't want to get ahead of you, God, is what I said. And one day, I'm serious, I was just driving right down 6th Street over there, heading to Norm's. And just as I was driving, I heard the Lord say, Brandon, there's an urgency to this gospel. People need this now. Come on, we're showing up and we're concerned about our futures. I understand that, but man, I hope we adopt a mindset where we say, I'm going to be way more concerned about the futures that are surrounding me. Eternity is at stake. No man's guaranteed tomorrow. Many of you know a guy that goes to our church. His name is Justin Sukup. He was in first service this morning. He and I, we grew up together. We went to school together. We really didn't hang out much growing up together, but we were kind of friends. Neither one of us followed Jesus, okay? And then both of us graduated from high school, and it's fair to say that both of us lived lives far from Jesus. We were not following him. When Rachel and I moved back here to plant the church, I heard that he was still in this area, and I started praying, God, would you bring Justin to the gathering? And then I got word that he showed up at our miracle Christmas Eve service, the first one we ever had here at the Fox Theater. I got word that he was there. But I didn't see him Sunday morning after that. And so I went, some of you, there's a few people that I went and asked, and I said, will you pray with me that Justin Sukup will come to church? And people started praying. And it wasn't long after that all of a sudden he was sitting at a table in Norm's Coffee Bar on a Sunday morning when we were having church. And he's in my neighborhood gathering now. God's been moving in his life. We were kind of friends growing up. We're family now. And we're brothers now. But I will never forget this, okay? This is just a while ago in our neighborhood gathering, not that long ago. And we were all talking together about, man, how long have you been following God? What's your story? How long have you been following Jesus? And somebody asked Justin, they said, how long have you been following God? And he turned and he looked straight at me and he said, how long have I been coming to the gathering, Brandon? Because that's how long. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And so now I've had the privilege, and many of you guys have had the privilege of getting to watch Jesus work in Justin's life and change his future forever. And now God's using Justin to change other futures forever. Even mine is coming back on me. I'm getting total fulfillment out of this thing. Come on, somebody. That's Newton reborn right there. You need to know, I still have problems. I still sin. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better dad. I want to be a better pastor. You name it. I want to grow. But I will say something I've been saying over and over since we launched this church 4 years ago. I'm having the time of my life. I am so fulfilled getting to be the church with you guys and watching the future of Newton get changed. Amen? But what about my friend Justin? What if we hadn't prayed? What if we hadn't prayed? What if he wouldn't have shown up? For those of you that have been invited and you've shown up here and you've had your lives changed in some way or another by God, what if somebody wouldn't have invited you? What if somebody wouldn't have invited you? What if people wouldn't have prayed for you? What if nobody went fishing for you? I'm not saying that God couldn't have worked it out, but is there a chance that there could be a whole bunch of futures in this room right now that might look totally different? Church, there's an urgency. We've got to accept God's invitation. We've got to cross the line. We've got to allow Jesus to make us into the men and the women that he wants us to be. Your future and the fulfillment of your future and the future and fulfillment of many other futures, I'm telling you, hinges on whether or not we will accept the invitation to allow Jesus to make us into fishers of people. That's where you're going to find your fulfillment. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Let's pray. One more time, I just want to ask, who got you here? And look, maybe you, again, you've been following Jesus for years, but who at some point in your life fished for you? Who, maybe it is somebody even here. Maybe somebody here is partly responsible for you following Jesus today. But maybe there have been people along the way. Can you picture those people in your mind? Would you just do this right now and just say, Jesus, thank you for them. Jesus, thank you for putting somebody in my life that loved me enough to want my future to be with you. Even pray this, God, would you bless them? Would you bless them right now? And listen, we're going to talk about this next week, okay? But I want you to begin to pray now and for the rest of the week. Who do you need to be that person for? Who's in your world? Who's in your life? Who do you have a relationship with? Who's around you that you need to be that person for? Will you accept that invitation? Even very simply, who do you need to invite to church? We're going to have fun next week, I guarantee it. We're going to have fun, come back. We're going to talk all about how we get to actually walk this thing out. But come on, right now, what's the Holy Spirit saying to you? Is there a line that you haven't fully crossed with Jesus yet? And listen, Grace, many of us have never been equipped to be an invitational person or to understand what it means. God, I'm going to be a fisher of men. This is the call that you put on all of our lives. But maybe you're just realizing this now. I've never fully stepped into that. I've never even known how. Come on, will you cross that line today? Even if you don't know what that looks like, but will you say, Jesus, yes, I accept your invitation. I'm going to follow you and I'm giving you permission. I want you to make me into the man or the woman that you want me to be. I want to cross every line that you have for me, Jesus. I want to accept every invitation. Is there an invitation that Jesus has been offering to you, but you've been, maybe you walked up to it and you peeked across the line, but you backed off and said no? Is there an invitation that he's been offering you that you need to say yes to today? Mom, would you say yes right now? In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray over your people. I pray over my life as well. I pray we'd cross the line. We say yes to you. We say yes to your invitation. And I pray, even as we're saying yes, and I know we're starting a journey here with you, Lord, but I pray, would you, as the yeses come up to you, as you get those, Lord, in your ears and in your hearts, God, I pray, would you put your blessing upon the futures of this room, Lord, and the futures that are going to get impacted through this church family and beyond. We love you, Jesus. We say it again. We anticipate your goodness. We choose to follow you. We can't wait to see what you are going to do. Come and see our city reborn. We pray in the name of Jesus. And all my friends said, amen.
Thanks for joining us today. Please know you're always welcome to worship with us on Sunday mornings. Also, if you would like to give to our ministry, you can go to our website at apeopleinthercity.com. We hope to see you soon, and God bless.